Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
This week, we continue the career of Kurt Angle.
Kurt Angle Part 2, Electric Boogaloo.
And this is an interesting part of the Kurt Angle career. Before we looked at the rise, really, like, you know, the incredible rookie year, kind of his establishment as one of the guys in WWE, we're now looking at, like, honestly, some of his best-known matches and feuds, which came in the latter half of his WWE career, but then also his departure, his trip to New Japan.
Yeah.
And, of course, we have to look at the beginning of TNA. But the thing is, we don't look at a TNA match for his first, like, 2.5 years in the company.
Yeah. If you want more Kurt Angle early TNA, go listen to our Samoa Joe episode. Go listen to some AJ Styles. I'm pretty sure
Mr. Kennedy.
A match. Yeah, Mr. Kennedy. Yeah. There's a lot of Kurt that's been done for early TNA time.
Kurt has been someone's best dance partner a lot. And that's also the thing with the matches here. Like, we're going to cover a Michaels match, but it's not that one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot. We've already covered a lot of his best matches because Kurt is just such an amazing dance partner for so many people that he just showed up.
Yeah, it's not our fault. Okay.
And we don't double up on this pod. I think we double up once.
And we've doubled up twice, I think.
We double up for Austin Hart, WrestleMania 13.
Yeah, and I think, did we not double up for 25? WrestleMania 25? No, we didn't.
Yeah, we split it
up. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, then I guess it might have only been the one.
Yeah. Speaking of episodes we covered a lot of people. This is episode 110 proper.
Oh, God.
110. Tell us on Twitter who you want us to cover next. We have not planned the next after the third part of Kurt Angle.
Oh, this is bad.
We have no forward planning. So we're reaching out to the people. Reach out to us at Crossbody Work on Twitter. Tell us who you want us to cover. If there's somebody that's really good, maybe there'll be a three-parter soon. But, you know, if you have like a favorite mid-carder, if you have a favorite TNA tag act we haven't looked at, if you have a favorite New Japan, you know, junior heavyweight that we haven't looked at, if you've got a Ring of Honor stud that we haven't covered, you know, tell us.
I can tell you it's not going to be Earl Hebner.
If you're like, Chad. Yo, cheeseburger, do the cheeseburger episode. Maybe do the cheeseburger episode. The Pineapple Pete episode? All the food. We'll do all the food related ones.
Oh, God. Who else is there? Cheeseburger, Pineapple Pete?
That's all I can think
Cherry.
Of.
Cherry?
Ah, yes, everyone's favorite, Cherry. No. Let's do all the housekeeping things, because I'm already on there. Like I said, follow us on Twitter, at Crossbody of Work. Tell us who to cover. Tell us who we should be watching next. Merch table is open, fullpressshop.com. Buy the merch, support the boys. Wherever you're listening, rate 5 stars, subscribe, tell a friend. You have friends who like Kurt Angle, because you have good, cool friends, and good, cool people like Kurt Angle.
Who want to listen to good, cool people like us.
Yeah. What's up, fellow kids? That Steve Buscemi meme? Yeah.
With the freaking skateboard?
With the skateboard and the backwards hat. Every time I wear my hat backwards, I'm like, I am 30. But I refuse to wear my hat forward.
My problem with wearing my hat
backwards. How else will people know that I mean business as a Pokemon trainer if my hat's not backwards?
Here's my thing, though. I always do this. I put my hat on backward, and then I sit down to drive my car.
It's the worst.
So I turn it back forward, and once it's forward, I can't bring it back.
You got to bring it back.
I can't do it.
So just like how I'm about to bring it back to the housekeeping things. Yeah, I think that's all the housekeeping things. I brought it back for no reason.
Yes,
I know.
Good housekeeping, Evan. Good housekeeping.
Yeah, the greatest of housekeeping. Yeah, yeah. Dear listeners, any Canadian listeners we have, because we actually get quite a few listens from Canada, which is great.
Near neck of the woods.
That's right. In a couple of months' time, Javier's coming to Canada.
Yes.
Javier's coming to Canada. So yes, if there's any specific Canadian things that Javier needs to experience when he comes to Canada, you let us know. And that way when Javier comes to Canada, he can experience these Canadian things.
Poutine. And you know I've never had poutine before.
I mean, we can get you some poutine. We can get you some ketchup chips.
I don't know what ketchup chips are.
They are potato chips that are flavored like ketchup.
But oh, we really have that here.
Oh, do you have all dressed? That's the one you're missing. All
I
dressed.
Don't know what that means.
It's like they just took all the seasoning and went, nah.
Oh!
Yeah. I am not a huge fan, but there are people who like live by all dress chips.
I don't even want to know the calorie count for one of those chips.
Too many. But yes, tell us, dear listeners, if there's any Canadian things that Javier needs to experience. If he breaks any bones, we'll get him that free healthcare.
Oh, yeah, I work at a hospital.
We'll get him that free healthcare. All right. We are, last time we ended with WrestleMania 19, we're picking up with WrestleMania 20.
Yes.
It's Kurt Angle versus Eddie Guerrero. This match gets slept on because of the other matches at WrestleMania 20 that I think get a little bit more recognition. This is part of a trio of main events. Yeah. There's the triple threat at the very end. There is the Kane Undertaker match, which isn't good, but is the return of the dead man. So it's a moment more than it's Brock a good Oldberg. Match. There's the clusterfuck that is Brock versus Goldberg.
Brock return.
There's a lot at WrestleMania 20, so this one gets overlooked, but also gets overlooked because Eddie won the title at No Way Out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a title defense than more than title win. But this match is excellent. And obviously, this is we are both huge Eddie Guerrero fans.
Yes, Eddie Guerrero, as I may be the biggest John Cena mark in the universe, but rest assured, Eddie Guerrero is my favorite wrestler ever.
And Eddie Guerrero is in my top three. He's not one because one is Kurt, but he's either two or three. It depends on the day. All right.
How are we today?
He's two because we're talking about him. We're not talking about the other guy who's in my top three, which because of this podcast has become Daniel Bryan.
Oh, well, shout out to Daniel Bryan.
Bryan used to be like, oh, yeah, like he's a great talent. And then we watched all his all old ROH stuff, and I was like, holy shit. And now Bryan is three, at least today.
And now you see him on AEW, and you're like, oh, my God, he's with William Regal.
That dude's good. He punches people and kicks them in the head. All right. You said you watched this match pretty frequently.
Yes, yeah.
Why do you keep going back?
Honestly, it's more just because I love watching that time period of Eddie, very early 2004 range. Like I always go back, I watch that Rumble, then I watch No Way Out, then I watch WrestleMania, and then I watch basically like his title, like parts of his title reign too. I just love seeing Eddie as the guy, you know, because it wasn't very long. I mean, it was only his reign only lasted like 4 or 5 months, something like that.
Yeah, 5 months,
it was up,
I think.
Through Judgment Day, I believe, was when he lost it. And, you know, it's just one of those things where, like, I want to go back and experience that because that's, like, one of the defining time periods of my childhood. So I
it's
go
your
back
favorite wrestler
to watch it.
As WWE champion.
Yeah.
Obviously, we want to go back and see it. Yeah.
I want to see that because he's obviously Eddie's not around anymore. So, you know, it's one of those things that I always go back and look for, and it'll always bring a smile to my face because not only do I have the nostalgia factor of it, but I also get to see someone, you know, fulfill a dream of theirs.
That's true. Angle beat Big Show and John Cena at No Way Out, the same No Way Out where Eddie Guerrero won the title, in order to win a shot at the belt. This match, great start, great finish. Yep. We're going to go through most of the beats of it, probably. Angle's in full wrestling machine mode here.
Angle's
pissed. He hasn't really gotten the nickname yet, but he is fully in wrestling machine mode here.
Yeah, he's not wearing the navy trunks or the navy singlet. He's not wearing the mouth guard. He's not in the full, you know what I mean, wrestling machine. When you think of wrestling machine Kurt Angle, you think of when he came back on SmackDown to win the World Heavyweight Championship with the navy blue singlet, with the mouth guard, and he's just like, ah!
In terms of a guy who's just in his element, just grappling, and Eddie is hanging with him. Eddie's doing a great job. There's a lot of this headlock takeover early, a lot of neck control headlocks by Angle, couple pinfall attempts, like a lot of early wrestling-based wrestling, which sounds weird to say, but it is the best way to describe it.
Yeah, it's like amateur wrestling, but in pro wrestling.
That's right.
And Eddie, you know, gets a couple of shoulder tackles in there early. Kurt gets shooketh.
He is shooketh.
The moment that I realized, like, yo, Kurt Angle's really about this shit. Like, this dude's really an Olympic gold medalist, was at one point, he switched onto a front face lock.
Yep.
And he did it in like 0.32 seconds.
Oh, yeah. Built incredibly different as Kurt Angle.
Men's is fast as fuck.
We get a couple pinball attempts by Angle. Eddie reverses into a suplex. A couple of arm drags and arm lock by Eddie. And I'm like, look at Eddie also doing the wrestling thing. This man
perfect
knows.
Arm drags. Perfect.
Yes. Yeah.
Eddie, it's a suplex. And it's clear that he's going for the three amigos early here. Kurt switches on a second one, hits a German. It's clear he's going for the three. Yeah. But Eddie blocks the second one and they're able to just start at some point. They end up on the apron. They're like kind of jockeying for position. And Kurt just decides, I want to commit murder.
Yeah, Angle wants a German off the apron. Eddie holds on, angles to the outside. Eddie goes on the inside, then drop kicks Angle off the apron. Eddie goes up top and he's like, you know what? Let's keep this momentum going. You know, it's like when you win a couple little bets and then you're like, let's keep the momentum going. Putting all on black,
worst decision,
please.
You can make.
And then Eddie dives off the top turnbuckle and ends up getting a chest full of barricade because Angle moves, because Angle could see him coming for it. It's like 5 minutes into the match. You can't do a move.
R.I.P. ribs. At one point a little down the line here, Kurt has a headlock on and Eddie is straight up purple. Like the man is selling it like he's Brock Lesnar.
Very purple.
Just to call back to the dive spot to the barricades, Kurt does a stun gun and Eddie lands straight on his ribs instead of the usual face shot.
Yeah. Interesting choice.
My favorite thing here is I love how Eddie Guerrero is a heel that's really a babyface.
Yep.
Or a babyface that's really a heel, I should say.
Yeah.
He just thumbs Kurt in the eyes, just doesn't care.
No.
And then my favorite part about it, so he thumbs Kurt so that he can regain his breath or whatever the fuck. And he turns around and Kurt just hits him with an overhead belly to belly.
Yeah. And that gets him for a two. Puts Eddie on the top. Eddie pushes him off. He's going to go for a top rope suplex, pushed off. Eddie goes for a frog splash, nobody home, which was incredibly quick move by Kurt.
Yeah, because well done.
Yeah, it was a really smooth moment. One of the things I noticed about Angle, specifically in this match, he might have the best stalking stance in wrestling. Angle is waiting for... Who do you have?
It will 100% always be The Rock for me.
That was the only other person I could think of.
Only will ever be
with
The Rock.
With his little shuffle that he does.
Yeah, the shuffle. And he's always like perfectly locked in. Like he's just legs perfectly spread out. He's just waiting for you.
Angle, I love angles, but you're right. It is The Rock. He's stalking Eddie. He's got control. We get a back suplex on Angle from Eddie because he moves in the corner, which is great. Angle slam attempt that comes out of nowhere, really.
Yeah.
And gets countered into an arm drag.
Because Eddie loves himself an arm drag.
Eddie loves arm drags.
He loves it. He hits a superplex, or hits a suplex, hits a second. On the third one, because my man's can't have the three amigos, it just can't happen. Kurt rolls through, picks him off, gets the ankle lock put on.
This episode is a very fun game of when will Kurt do something weird to pick the ankle.
It's every fucking great.
Single match, pretty organically, he finds a new way to be like, that's a foot. Kurt has the weirdest foot fetish of all time. Because he he wants to rip it off and take it home with him. He's just like,
I want decent. Or it's like the birds from Finding Nemo. Mine.
So yeah, he picks the ankle. Eddie rolls and counters. We get a drop kick to stop Angle's momentum, which is good. Eddie tries to go up top because he just keeps wanting to go up top. He wants that frog splash. Angle meets him, tosses him off the top rope, gets a two. Yeah. Then Eddie with a quick roll up, which I love. I love the wherewithal to just be like.
Well, you missed one of the most important parts.
Oh,
of this episode. Kurt pulls down the straps.
Oh yes, this whenever the straps go down, we need like a sound effect.
Yeah, we're in business when that happens.
Straps go down.
Ooh. Straps go down. Fireworks.
Yeah.
And then he tries to put on the ankle lock, but like you said, Eddie quickly snaps into a roll up for a near fall. Eddie then comes back through a little down the line here, hits a DDT.
Yeah.
Goes up to the top, hits the frog splash for a near fall.
Yeah, Angle kicks out. Which is big.
This whole episode is basically just Kurt kicking out.
And then we get the finish. I want you to go into the very fun, very classic Eddie finish.
Okay, so ankle lock again. Eddie struggling, rolls forward, knocks Kurt out of the ring. Eddie, while this is happening, unties his boot so that he could relieve the pressure on the ankle. Because I guess it's already starting to swell, even though he was in the ankle lock for like 5 seconds. But still. Kurt gets back into the ring, drops Eddie down, puts him in the ankle lock again. Eddie's starting to break free, and Kurt is Eddie's starting to move towards the rope. Kurt, when this happens, obviously pulls him back. When he pulls back, the boot is gone because Eddie untied it. So the boot comes loose. Eddie rolls him up, very deep cover. 1, 2, 3. Eddie Guerrero retains the WWE Championship at WrestleMania.
And more of what you mentioned about Eddie being a babyface is really a heel. He also uses the ropes on the roll up.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. Just enough. Not a lot. Just enough.
Wasn't that noticeable?
I did once learn from a teacher when I was in high school who had kids. He's like, if you ever want your kids to admit to doing something wrong, ask them if they did it a little bit. Or it's like, did you play with the toys when you weren't supposed to? No. Did you do it a little bit? Yeah, a little bit. And so, Eddie, did you cheat to win? No. Did you cheat a little bit? A little bit. All right. Let's move on to our promo segment for this week. And it's probably the one you're thinking of for like a memorable Kurt promo. This is probably the one you're thinking of.
Might be the greatest thing ever.
2005. Angle took part in the Royal Rumble match, but was eliminated in quick fashion by somebody named Shawnathan Michaels. Angle was mad about that, returned to the ring, eliminated Michaels in retaliation, and then started a cross-brand feud with Michaels that would culminate at WrestleMania.
Just fucking sick, by the way.
It's sick, and we've covered it on the Michaels podcast. Go back and listen. I think it's in part 3. That would make sense. It should be part 3. So go back and listen to part 3 of Shawn Michaels. Kurt wants to outdo Shawn Michaels and everything. The week before, he'd brought out Marty Jannetty and kicked the shit out of him, which, like, cool. That's fun. That's exactly what Shawn did.
Yeah.
I mean, Shawn almost lost the IC title. Was it to Marty? Yeah, it was to Marty.
He lost it a couple times.
Yeah, whoops. So this time, he brings out who, Javier? Who comes out with Kurt?
Well, first off, fuck who comes out with him. The video starts, and immediately we hear Shawn Michaels' music.
Yes.
We're expecting Shawn
Michaels.
Michael Shawn Hickenbottom to come out.
Yes.
But instead, it's a bald man from Pittsburgh dancing.
With an HBK shirt on.
And his name is Kurt Angle.
It's Kurt. And he's doing all the Shawn moves.
And he's doing it kind of on point, too.
Oh, yeah. This is a great Shawn impression.
This is probably the best you're gonna freaking get outside of Shawn Michaels. By the way, my favorite part of this entire segment was when you finally realize that it's Kurt Angle. Michael Cole just goes, "Wait a minute!"
Michael Cole's been fooled.
It's like that was so funny. I literally had to pause the video. I was laughing so hard.
Dude, did you think Shawn shaved his head?
Yeah, Kurt does a sensational part and sensational job on the entrance. And so who does he bring out that's sensational, Evan?
Sensational Sherry.
So he brings out Sherry.
He said that last week he proved that he's a better wrestler by beating up Marty Jannetty, which is that the barometer that we're going with?
Sure.
So this week he's out here to prove he's the better entertainer. I hope you knew by now what we're getting to. We're getting to Sexy Kurt.
Oh, yeah. So he gets into the ring, does the pose perfectly, the Michaels pose.
No notes.
Throw Sherry down like Michaels used to way back in the day, does it all, does everything. And then he gets on the mic and goes, "Now that's how you do an entrance."
Yeah.
It's like you said, he wants to prove he's a better entertainer. Says Sherry turns Shawn from a nobody to a somebody.
Yep.
And then he goes, with respect to Sherry, he said he thinks that the song sucks. So he goes, "Anything you could do, we can do better." Evan, take it away.
Angle sings his own version of Michael's theme song with Sherry. I will say, the disrespect to this theme song by Angle, this theme song is great. It's out of context. There are certain theme songs that work out of context. You could play them like on a gym playlist and you're fine. I also want to talk about how you just nailed the ah-ahs. Sherry does not. Sherry does the ah-ahs on the original Shawn Michaels song. She does not nail them here.
Well, it's been a while.
It's been a bit.
There's probably been some drugs in the way.
What are your favorite lines from the Sexy Kurt version?
I honestly barely remember the beginning bit. It's mostly the chorus for me.
Yep.
But
I'm just Sexy Kurt.
Sexy Kurt!
I'll make your ankle hurt. 10 out of 10. No notes. Simon Cowell approves.
What is it? I've got gold medals.
It's just so dorky. Kurt is this perfect balance of being a complete dork, but also he's so tough that you're like, are you going to say something about how he's lame?
Kurt is? Kurt is like that dad who's like all about the dad jokes and shit, but homie goes to the gym every day.
Yeah.
So he's pretty, he's pretty buff, but he's like a total teddy bear, complete teddy bear, but he's strong. So there's like a little bit of that intimidation factor.
Yeah. You don't want to push him. You don't want to push him.
Yeah. It's like he's like huge and shit. And then the mom is like tiny, but she's the scary one.
Mm. Yeah. She's Sherry.
Yeah. That's
so Sean appears on the screen. Also, Kurt's dancing. Also 10 to 10. No notes.
Yes.
Sean's on the screen. And he says one of the rudest things I've ever heard. He says, "Sherry, you look as beautiful as ever." That's not true, actually. No, that's not true. And I was like, dude, the way he said it was just so mean.
You know what's the best part about that? Is that's 100% pre-recorded.
Yeah. They didn't even give her the time of day to actually look at her. Just, I'm going to insult the way you look.
Oh, 100% pre-recorded.
Kurt got a clip show last week, apparently. So we get like a Sean clip show.
It was like a fucking promo package.
Yeah. And Sherry laughs at it. And Angle confronts her, throws her on the ground, and foot fetish.
Ankle lock,
baby.
With Grapevine.
Which I said was so unnecessary.
It's like Sherry's like 40.
Sherry gets saved by some refs who Angle then scares off and puts the ankle lock back in. Did you catch who finally backs off Kurt Angle?
Was it Fit Finlay?
It's Fit Finlay and Dean Malenko.
Ah.
The Iceman cometh.
Hey, if Kurt wants to wrestle that motherfucker.
Yeah, wrestle the shooter. Oh, man. Yeah, this was like a week before the WrestleMania 21 match. Angle would win, which is great. But we're going to take our break. And when we get back, we are looking at an Angle versus Michaels match, just not the one from WrestleMania. Back from the break. It's Vengeance 2005. It's Kurt Angle versus Shawn Michaels. It's the rematch here once Angle was drafted to Raw in the summer of 2005. So they had their cross-brand feud. Angle won. Then they went about their time. Angle got drafted to Raw in 2005. They reignite the passion, the feud for Vengeance 2005. You said you didn't remember this match.
I didn't even know it took place, honestly.
Wow. I mean, I knew you were a SmackDown kid.
I didn't watch Vengeance 2005. I know isn't this the cage match between Batista and Triple H?
Yes.
Yeah, that's all I've got for you.
That's it. This is all I have.
It's all I can provide.
Angle is out with the straps down to start. Wasting. It was the first thing I noticed. I was like, this man has no straps on right now.
You know what's the first thing I noticed for this match?
Which is?
Too many cooks on commentary.
Yeah, too many coaches specifically.
Too many coaches, too many Kings, too many Coles, too many fucking Lawlers. I said Lawler twice.
Before we go on further, I'm going to shout out the Vengeance 05 card because it's pretty stacked. There's only like one or two
It's WrestleMania Backlash.
I'm going to read you through the matches for you. Maybe you should go watch this. Carlito versus Shelton Benjamin for the IC title.
Oh!
Victoria versus Christy Hemme, which okay, sure. Victoria's great.
I'm all set with that one.
Kane versus Edge.
Okay.
Michaels versus Angle.
Yeah.
Cena defending the WWE title against Jericho and Christian.
I remember that match, actually.
And Batista in a Hell in a Cell match versus Triple H.
That's
a good card.
Solid card. Solid card right there.
Best match on the whole show, Angles and Michaels.
Shut up. Hey, all I'm saying is John Cena taking out the Canadians. That's all I got
to
say.
I'm from Winnipeg, you idiot. What did you think of the match? You said you'd never seen it. What did you think?
I mean, I thought overall it was a pretty fucking good match. I don't think it's better than the WrestleMania match.
No, I think it's like a hair below.
I think let's call the WrestleMania match a 3.5 star. Four and a half stars.
Yeah.
This would be like 4.25.
Yeah. Yeah, four and a quarter.
Yeah. I'm a very tough critic, by the way, people. So that's why I said it's a 4.5-star match.
Javier doesn't believe in fucking 6.5 and 7-star matches.
Yeah, if it's a 5, it's because it's a five. Fucking 5.
It's a 5. I also think it's like, this one's 7. No, there were never 7 before.
No, there's not a 7. No, it's just fucking 5.
I don't know why, but early on there's bird sounds during the feeling out period. I expected Coco Beware to just appear.
Are you sure there were bird sounds?
Yes, because I watched this at like 10 o'clock at night, so there definitely weren't some around me.
Cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
I mean, maybe. Nice job by Michaels forces Angle to roll to the outside. Angle, one of his best early moves here is a half Boston Crab. I like when Angle diversifies his submissions, you know?
Yeah, I like the chops early on from Michaels here. There's a lot of good stuff. Mm-hmm. There was also like a big float over into a sunset flip pin.
Yeah.
That Sean did off the second rope. Kurt tries putting on the ankle lock, but this is the part you were mentioning. Sean throws him out of the ring.
Yep. Angle is on the outside, and he wants an angle slam on the table, but Michaels dodges, which is great. Yes. Then he gets Germaned onto the table.
Yeah, which is arguably worse.
Oh, no argument. It's worse. It's definitely worse. Because instead of your back taking it, your neck takes it.
My neck, my back.
I kind of knew you were going to do that.
And my crack. Anyways.
The table does not break. I believe in Spanish announce table supremacy.
Which is worse for Sean.
Yes, it is. 100%. It's worse.
So Kurt starts working over Sean's neck, and then you get something I never fucking expected Kurt Angle to bust out. Sure. My man pulls out a buckle bomb.
He does, and it looks disgusting.
It does not look good.
No, it looks painful. That's what I mean. It looks bad. Also, he gets a release German suplex, which is also nasty.
Yeah, he should have taken notes on the buckle bomb from Seth Rollins.
That's right. Angle's in full control for a while. We get a little bit of life from HBK. Arm drag, clothesline by Angle cuts him right back off.
Yeah, overhead belly to. Or sorry, Kurt tries to go for the angle slam here. Sean's able to get a counter going. Overhead belly to belly by Kurt though for a near fall. Sean keeps like there's a headlock spot, and the ref just keeps counting pins, which. After a certain point, I was like, "Can you just not?
Just let him be.
Just let it go. We've done this three times now. They're going to be here for another minute. Could we just
Michaels frees himself with a back suplex.
We get the classic HBK moveset here.
The strike off the ropes. The like diving. Yeah, forearm. The
diving forearm. He waits. Kip up. Yeah. 3 punches. Atomic drop.
Our favorite move.
Yes, clothesline, scoop slam, up to the top, diving elbow drop.
Then Michaels tunes up the band, but Angle takes his fucking head off with the clothesline.
Now, that's a fucking lariat.
That is a lariat. Tornado DDT by Michaels as he counters another angle slam. I do like, at this point, I know they've only had one match against each other, but I do like that they're able to... develop the counters to each other's moves. Like that's
because these motherfuckers did their homework.
That's got to be the sequel, right? Switch it up a little bit.
Yeah, it's why New Japan matches progressively get better.
It's true. German suplex. Michaels frees himself with a giant elbow that connects very cleanly to Angle's face.
Yeah,
like broken nose potench. You know?
Yeah, John Cena was like, oh.
Flashbacks to the to the future.
Flashbacks to the future.
That's right.
My man was putting That's So Raven.
Something wrong is happening.
Jeez. Sean fights out, hits. So, but Kurt hits angle slam anyways for a near fall.
Yep.
Kurt gets an ankle lock on. Sean rolls through, rolls him up, and gets a near fall off of that.
Yep.
Kurt then rolls into an ankle lock.
Yeah.
Again, Kurt just has a fucking foot fetish, like you mentioned.
He truly does.
It's kind of crazy at this point. Not to kink shame anybody, by the way.
No, but, you know, just
hey, you want what you want. I don't want it, but you want what you want, I guess.
But why feet? You know,
feet are gross. But
feet are weird, man. Feet are weird.
You There's, do. Some people are into dressing up as animals, so.
I'm going to tell a little story. Tell a story for the people.
Oh, God.
Don't worry. It has to do with feet, but nothing weird. Two weeks ago, at the time of releasing this, I went to go get a pedicure for the first time in my life. Got a little pedicure. It was nice. It's very relaxing.
I like that.
It's very calming.
I always wanted to do it. I always want to go for a nice mani-pedi.
If you, as you know, male-identified folks, if you're worried about like, oh, no, it's the best. It's the most relaxed I've ever been. It was a massage chair. I just don't want to go alone. That's fair.
It's my thing.
It was the massage chair, plus I'm getting like a foot massage, and I'm getting like, it looks beautiful. It's great.
Did you go with Amy?
I did go, and I was going to post a photo and be like, look at how relaxed I am at the the spa getting my pedicure. And then I was like, I don't want to post free feet pics on the internet, so I'm not going to. I'm sorry. I just can't. I'm like, I'm not posting free feet. I'm not a celebrity, but I don't want to end up on celebrity feet. Which is the thing. It's a wiki.
We're not celebrities. No, we are. We do this podcast.
No, we are not celebrities.
We are.
You don't get to be on the celebrity celebrity foot wiki.
We are underground celebrities. Anyways.
Very deep underground. Anywho, he gets a fucking ankle lock.
Just so Sean flings Kurt into the ref.
Yep.
Gets to the outside. Also, the first person that checks on Sean, was that a fan?
No, I think it was like a production person.
Well, Sean pushed the fuck out
Sean
of him.
Did
like
not
he was
want
a fan.
Him there.
Sean pushed him like it was a fucking fan. I can tell you that.
Then you know he's getting some assistance because his leg is all fucked up. Angle brings him back in the ring because he does not care.
Straps are down.
Back down. They'd gone up. They're back down for emphasis.
Ankle lock.
And Jack Stone's alive again, so he can start looking for submissions.
Yeah, Sean flips over, tries kicking Kurt off, but Kurt won't let go. After a little bit, he tries it again. Kurt still will not let go. Sean flips over and is able to get Kurt to post himself in the corner. As Kurt's coming off the ropes, sweet chin music out of nowhere.
Very much out of nowhere. Michaels does have an arm on Angle after a little bit. But Angle starts moving before the ref can count. And I actually kind of liked that.
Yeah.
The awareness of Angle to be like, I feel like an arm on me. Like, I'm just going to make sure my shoulder just is. Because he just kind of rolled his shoulder up a couple times.
Yep.
He's like, nah, let me get this up. Angle goes to the top. Why?
But here's the thing. He goes up to the top, but he's not facing away. It's not a moonsault.
No, he's just.
And I'm like,
what are you doing?
Why is Kurt on the top rope?
He's going to moonsault onto the first guy who checked on Michaels to the outside. But no, he just does a diving nothing.
Nothing. It's the diving nothing. It's classic.
It's the diving get absolutely fucking destroyed with a sweet chin music. That's what it is.
Yeah, he gets caught with the sweet chin music out of the air. Sean falls on him. 1, 2, 3. Shawn Michaels wins the rubber match.
It's good. It's really good. Yeah. On to another really good match. We're looking at Kurt Angle versus The Undertaker, the World Heavyweight Championship match at No Way Out 2006. So Angle had been out injured, or I think he's getting surgery, right?
Neck surgery, no?
Yeah, neck surgery. He returned January 13th, 06, episode of SmackDown, returned to SmackDown as a surprise entrant in the 20-man Battle Royal for the vacant World Heavyweight Championship.
The first time I considered him the wrestling machine.
Angle won by last eliminating somebody. Do you remember who?
Was it the Great Khali?
It was not, but it's a big guy. Big man.
Was it my man's?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not. Well, it's not Mabel. Not that big man's. It's Mark Henry.
Okay.
And he turned face in the process. He would retain the title against Henry at the Royal Rumble. And shortly after that match, Undertaker returned and challenged Angle for the title. That's where we get this match, which I had forgotten about entirely because it's a great match. And it just slips through the cracks. This is such a small bone to pick.
Go on. Is it Taker's hair?
Taker, you need to dye your hair, man. When that's the gimmick you're rocking, you were in fucking kayfabe for 30 years. You just refuse to give up the game. You gotta just get the black in at the it's the roots. It's the roots.
It's the Questlove,
you're a
baby.
Natural ginger, and this is my dead man. It looks like Ron Howard. Like, I can't have that. Okay?
No, not Ron Howard.
I can't have that. I can't have that. I love that you knew immediately what I was going to pick on, too. It's very noticeable.
It was the first thing I noticed, too.
It's very noticeable.
It just feels like
I'm back. Big red machine now. What the fuck is this?
It's not even that. It brings me back. What is he? Is he in the fucking Brothers of Destruction? What are we doing here? Is he going to rock? He didn't rock shades in a motorcycle down to the ring. Why is his hair like that?
Very confusing. What do you think of the match?
I love this match. This honestly, it might be my favorite of the bunch.
This low-key might be one of my favorite Taker matches I've ever watched.
This is probably my favorite of the bunch that we watched.
Yeah.
In either episode, honestly.
Oh, I'm partial to some in the first, but...
I had a really good time watching this.
This is a really, really good match. And like I said, this angle might just be the right opponent for Taker. Taker does really work well with... Obviously, most people are smaller than Taker. Taker doesn't work well with people who are like roughly the same size. He doesn't work well with other giants. Angle has such a good skill set to match what Taker does.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
And he's Taker fast as fuck, boy.
Starts the match by charging at
immediately.
Angle. Yeah.
Oh no, Joel Embiid has a torn ligament in his right thumb.
Will he not play?
Oh, he playing.
Son of a bitch. Okay. My poor Raptors. They might be eliminated by the time you hear this.
The Canadians.
I just want Pascal Siakam to be happy. Undertaker charges an angle, gets a headlock, some shoulder blocks. We get an early old school, very early.
Yeah, very early here. He never does this. Taker is working the left arm of Kurt Angle.
Yes.
He's very much like at one point he casually picks him up on a knuckle lock. Drops him and then drops the leg on the arm. Then we get the old school that you were speaking of. Snake eyes. Kurt ducks the big boot and hits a German that spikes Taker around his fucking head.
Yeah. Angle then, they go to the outside. Angle then does the whole like jump at, why do you jump at people, Kurt? This never works unless you gotta flip at them. Moonsaults only, Kurt. That's it.
Okay. Not a moonsault. Did he hit a moonsault this entire episode?
There's one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's one moonsault in the whole thing.
Now I know what you're talking about.
Angle gets caught by Undertaker when he jumps at him to the outside and run directly into the ring posts. Then we get the apron drape leg drop by Taker, which I like every time I see it.
Yeah, it's a cool move.
It makes me feel bad for Undertaker's hips, but I do like it every time I see it.
Let's just say it's like one of the moves that I'm very glad that nobody in the new generation has adopted.
Has taken yet? Yeah.
Yeah.
Somebody's going to do it. I give it like 2 more years. Somebody's gonna take it, but it won't be in WWE. It'll be in AEW or somewhere else.
No. It's gonna be like fucking Parker Bordeaux. What the fuck's his name? Hanlon?
Harland?
Yeah, that dude. It's gonna be that dude.
It's gonna be Theory.
No, Theory's too busy winning a fucking United States championships
and taking selfies. My God. Shout out these kids these days.
Shout out to All Day. Anyways.
Adrian Peterson?
Exactly. Taker, they're on the out. So, Taker's on the apron still. Kurt shoulder checks him off the apron to the barricade. While they're on the outside, Taker grabs Kurt, runs him right into the post.
Yeah, like I said, yeah.
Another apron leg drop. Kurt kicks him on the way out of a chokeslam.
Yeah.
And then eats, and I mean force fed Guantanamo Bay style, a fucking uppercut.
And yet still has the presence of mind to chop block Taker's knee. As much as Taker was working the arm of Angle, Angle was retaliating by working the leg of Undertaker.
Yeah, Taker's limping very early in this match. Which, by the way, I love the commitment to selling by the Undertaker in this match.
Yeah.
That man is selling that leg and limping from beginning to end.
I know nothing about the psyche of The Undertaker as a person, because, like, who can understand that man?
Yeah, Mark Calloway is a very committed man.
And that's the thing. There's part of me that thinks the legitimacy of Kurt makes him sell harder. I don't know, because he does it with... He did it with Brock, too. Anything Brock did to Undertaker, which sometimes he was legitimately conked out.
I mean, here's the thing, though. It's Brock.
It's Brock.
Like, do you want to be the guy that doesn't sell a lot for Brock?
Brock is like if Frosty the Snowman was done with meat instead and came to life one day and just fucking decided to suplex kids. That's Brock Lesnar as a person. Yeah.
Brock is the big fish from the fucking Fry Cook games in SpongeBob. Hey.
Brock is barely human at this point. Anyways.
We're back into the ring. We're outside the ring. Technically, yep. We're inside, but also outside. Kurt has now picked the Undertaker, his legs. He picks him over to the corner, and he does the old Bret Hart figure four / sharpshooter on the ring post spot.
Yeah, just dope.
Right after that, we get some... it's just fucking brutal. This is a brutal match, honestly.
Yeah.
After that, we get Kurt... he catches Taker's ankle on the apron leg drop.
Yeah, like I said, Kurt just decides different ways to pick people's ankles, and this time it was on a leg drop.
Yeah, and he just has it locked in on the outside. He goes in, breaks the count, mm-hmm. goes back, puts the ankle lock back on, and yeah. he is just targeting that shit.
Yeah.
This is also the 2006, early 2006. Yeah. So we still don't really know what the hell's gate is. So it's just, so when Kurt starts going for some ground and pound, I'm like, oh, the hell's gate's coming. And then he actually puts it on, and everyone's calling it a triangle choke, which is what it actually is. But it's
because we would know what is hell's gate. Yeah.
Yes, it's because Taker still hasn't really used it in a big moment yet.
This is where I realize that I keep getting, because we're watching these on YouTube. I watched this one on YouTube. I don't know about you. I assume you did. Yeah. Mainly because we can speed it up and it goes 1.25 or 1.5 or whatever.
1.5 for me.
1.5 for me. And this is where I realized that like every 5 minutes, because there was all these ads were in here. Every one of my ads. I was
barely getting ads.
Every ad I got for this match and the next match that I watched on YouTube were all gambling ads, like sports bets.
Actually, I just realized any of the YouTube links that we had for this episode, I didn't get a single ad. I only got them at the end.
Because I was being told to like bet MGM Grand and you know, FanDuel and all. I'm like, dude, I barely bet on sports. Like, relax.
Anyways, we're outside. Taker throws Kurt into Chimmel.
Poor Chimmel.
Chimmel didn't deserve it.
No.
I have a frowny face next to his name. Chimmel ain't deserve it. Justice for my man, Tony. Taker taking apart the regular commentary announce That's desk, right. Only for them to like mess about for a little bit. Taker's limping all this, and then oh, would you look at that angle slam out of nowhere through the Spanish announce table that hasn't been touched.
Angle was playing possum the whole time. You fools!
You fool!
The zoom in on Taker here is where I realized how red his roots were. And also the fact that I looked at this man and I'm like, this man has eyeliner on. Like,
do you know this? Do you know the reference for the... You fool!
I do. I do.
R.I.P. Gilbert Gottfried.
We're back in the ring. And Angle gets a headbutt. And Angle meets him off... so they're up top, right? Angle gets headbutt off the turnbuckle. Taker goes to fly. Angle meets him for a suplex off the top turnbuckle. He's nice.
He's nice, baby. He's nice. By the way, 7-foot man getting tossed like that off the top rope.
Easy. Scary. Easy. Scary. Taker gets the advantage again with a big boot. We get a choke slam attempt, but Angle rolls through with an ankle lock. Because anything can be turned into an ankle lock if you think hard. If you use the three eyes, you can turn anything into an ankle lock.
Yeah, that's what happens when you drink a lot of milk, kids.
That's right. You just know where the ankles are.
He needs some milk. Taker turns that ankle lock into Hell's Gate, and I fucking popped. A little down the line here, Taker hits a choke slam for a near fall. He tries to get Kurt up for the last ride. Kurt breaks out of that, picks the ankle, of course.
Jesus, this is so many ankle locks.
Yeah, this is like number six at this point.
A lot.
Kurt, it's an angle slam for a near fall. Taker does the sit up at the exact same time that Taker does his sit up. Kurt takes off the straps.
Yeah.
And ooh. I don't know in that moment which one is more powerful.
Yeah.
It's pretty even. I don't know. In that moment, which I don't know which one it is. And I'm not making that decision right now, Evan, so don't ask me.
You can't make me.
Taker gets him up for a tombstone. Angle reverses, but Taker reverses the reversal. Angle picks the fucking ankle again.
And then we get Hell's Gate again.
Yeah. But also, so Angle picks the ankle, gets a grapevine on. Taker frees himself by just booting Angle in the face repeatedly, which
it's a very effective strategy.
It's a big boot. So we get the triangle choke again, the Hell's Gate. Angle's getting choked out, and we're doing the arm drop spot.
Angle's out.
But he holds that the three. Out. He's alive.
No, he doesn't even hold it. He just like drives himself forward at three.
Then we get the finish. Go into the very controversial finish.
Yeah, so the finish is basically, as I said, Kurt drives himself forward. So he flips forward. And then we get a pin. But also at the same time, Kurt's getting choked the fuck out. So he's like tapping a little bit, I guess.
Yeah.
And so the bell sounds, Nick Patrick's going, he gets the title, and then they announce Kurt Angle wins the match by pinfall.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so triple threat at Mania, right?
So triple threat at Mania, right?
I mean, technically, yes.
Because Randy Orton is qualified, he's going to be the guy who gets the title shot at WrestleMania due to his win that night, I think it was. Rey Mysterio, I don't think, has made a decision yet because he won the Royal Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And Kurt Angle is obviously the champion, so he's going. Taker obviously deserves it. Can you imagine if we have gotten the Fatal 4-Way?
And Taker would have had to win.
And instead, Taker got to fucking... I think that was the coffin match against Mark Henry.
Against Mike Henry.
Yes, Mike alone.
It was a weird decision, but Angle would go on to defend the title at WrestleMania and lose to Rey Mysterio in a triple threat match where Angle was the third most important person, which is a shame.
Which is weird.
It is weird. We're going to take a commercial break. When we get back, we're looking at Angle in ECW, TNA, New Japan, pretty much everywhere, but we're on SmackDown. Back from the break, and we're going to skip over a couple things in Kurt Angle's illustrious career, including his being drafted to ECW. I thought so hard about putting an ECW Kurt Angle match on here because Wrestling Machine Kurt Angle is a man who has no fucks left to give. Kurt Angle, when he had the mouth guard on, and you're talking about the dark singlets, and he got put on ECW because they really wanted some name brand, some star power on ECW. Kurt Angle was there to suplex people and kill them. That was his whole MO. That was his whole thing.
Committing murder.
Yeah, murder in the ECW fashion. But I didn't put one on there. Instead, we're going to talk about how on August 25th, 2006, Angle was granted an early release from his WWE contract because of health reasons. He stated in his DVD, his Kurt Angle Champion documentary, he asked for his release because WWE because he would not be able to take time off and was working hurt severely on some occasions.
Yeah.
He would go to TNA in 2006, in October. But we're not going there first. Like I said, we're not watching any matches from his first 2.5 years in TNA. If you want to look at the Angle Alliance and shit like that, wait for the Tyson Tomko episode, I guess.
What's that happening?
I mean, far down, episode 412. Book it. 412, the Tyson Tomko episode.
I know. I hope you know you have to keep a note of that because I will remind you.
I now do. Shit. Okay. But instead, we're looking at New Japan first. So February 18, 2007, Angle made his New Japan debut. He teamed with Yuji Nagata to defeat Travis Tomko, Tyson Tomko, and Giant Bernard, who is best known to all of you as Lord Tensai.
Ah, yes, Albert.
Albert A-Train.
How you doing, Al?
That man's got so many names. Angle was booked to face Brock Lesnar in a champion versus champion match for the Inoki Genome Federation IGF title to win the So he won the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, but not the New Japan one.
Which is weird.
He won the IGF one and would defend it at Wrestle Kingdom, which is where we're looking at. We're looking at Wrestle Kingdom 2, January 4th, 2008. It's Kurt Angle defending the what's called the IGF IWGP Third Belt Championship against Yuji Nagata.
It's just a wild name.
It is an absurd name. It makes zero sense. Do you know who fights for the actual IWGP Championship at Wrestle Kingdom 2?
Is Tanahashi involved?
It is. He is defending, and he loses.
Yes, it is. Oh, shit. Wrestle Kingdom 2, 2008. So is it him against... It's not Nagata.
Nope.
Is it... I don't know.
It is Shinsuke.
Oh, we did that fucking match.
I trick you. So we are looking at Wrestle Kingdom 2, Angle versus Nagata. Javier, quick little caveat from you, a little knowledge lesson from you. What should people know about Yuji Nagata? If you know nothing about New Japan, what's the synopsis about Yuji Nagata
before? But yes, I'll give a quick refresher. If you want more Yuji Nagata knowledge, I think in the Tanahashi episode, I went yes. more in depth on him because yeah. I believe they had a match together. But Yuji Nagata, I believe he was like the ace of New Japan before Tanahashi. He really was the head of the so New Japan likes to have the three. You know, the three musketeers, basically,
yeah.
the three guys at a time, you know, so that at a point there was for Tanahashi's generation, it would have been Tanahashi, Shinsuke Nakamura, and our boy.
Okada.
Not Okada. Dude, we did it now. Katsuyori Shibata. There we go. God, I knew I'd get there eventually. But yeah, no, it's usually him. Then the generation after that, Okada's generation. Okada was obviously the ace. It was him, Naito, and motherfucker.
We got to get you to stop listening, people. You're having a hard time. Anyways, so Nagata was one of the three musketeers. He was an ace.
Yes, he was an ace. He was doing all this stuff. And, you know, it's really just him. At this point, he's in his later stage. I think they mentioned he's like 39 or 40. This point,
yeah, they're both 39. Angle and Nagata are both 39. They have very similar backgrounds because I didn't know Nagata was also an amateur wrestling champion in 91 and 92, whereas Angle was an amateur wrestling champion in 90 and 92. So very similar backgrounds between the two. Yeah, they said that on commentary. I don't know if you were listening to commentary.
I was. I just didn't. I don't really remember commentaries as much.
It was TNA dubbed over commentary.
Yeah, which is why. But no, I like the continuity of that. I also like, you know, it's really, you know, it's kind of like Kurt's kind of like the big dog of America, kind of, you know, it's John Cena and Batista at that point, and Randy Orton at that point. But we all know what Kurt Angle is really all about versus the big, you know, he really is kind of like the thing, you know, like Kurt is kind of like the ace of America who's kind of been like, shoved to the side because he's you know, his time's passed. And Nagata's the kind of the same way. He was the ace of New Japan, and though he's kind of taking the back seat because, you know, it's Tanahashi's time.
What do you think of the match?
I love this match. Honestly, I was telling you before the podcast, this is probably one of the only matches I've ever seen where I was like, this actually kind of needed 5 more minutes.
Yeah, it's very rare for a match on this pod to need more time.
Especially New Japan.
Yeah.
Especially a New Japan match. But no, this definitely needed 5 more minutes. I love the start of it. Kurt immediately explodes with punches in the corner. His singlet is fucking fantastic.
It's
that
awesome.
Might be Kurt Angle's best singlet from all the matches
it's,
that
it's I've maybe seen. One of his best looks. I mean, one of the matches we cover next week has his best look, but we'll get to that.
Oh, we're not gonna divulge any information to you people. You're just gonna have to wait. Kurt hits an overhead belly to belly here at one point, pretty early. So Nagata follows a little down the line with his own kind of version of an overhead belly to belly. Instead of like grabbing Kurt, grabbing his opponent like Kurt does, he just kind of flings him.
Yeah.
So he flings Kurt backwards. Very good wrestling. Just good old amateur wrestling.
And a lot of good counters, like counter strikes. Angle's still getting his suplexes in, but he can't get like a good rhythm going.
It's a lot of catch-can wrestling here, too.
We get an uppercut by Angle.
Yeah, huge kicks from Nagata to the leg at one point here. And I was like, oh, God, I hurt. I'm like, my fucking quads hurt just listening to that.
Were those ones at ringside or the ones in the ring?
In the ring,
yeah. Because the ones at ringside that come a little bit later after the sleeper hold are also nasty.
Yeah, it's very clear. And then after a little while here, Nagata, I guess, dings up his left leg. Yep. So Kurt starts targeting that motherfucker.
What does he target it with?
One way he puts on a fucking figure four.
I like that Nagata counters it by just trying to lift the leg so he can't do the full pressure. Nagata's just like, I have, my arms can reach, and he just kind of lifts it off of him. Nagata tries to flip the hold, can't really, he does it for like a second. Angle keeps it locked on for a long time.
Yeah, eventually he does get the flip over, I believe.
Yeah.
Which is to reverse the pressure, which I will never understand.
I'll never understand. It's one of those things you just accept in wrestling and move on.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make
whatever.
A lick of sense.
At one point, Nagata puts on a Fujiwara armbar, and then there's a commercial break.
I was so mad. It's clearly a TNA review
of this.
Yeah, it's
a global thing.
Yeah. But we do get like a recap of what happened during the break when we get back, but also like, what the what? Why?
I didn't care about the recap. They could have just that's on them, not me.
We get back from break. Angle hits a series of German suplexes. Classic.
Yes. Nagata hits a T-bone suplex, follows that up with a normal suplex, then throws on a crossface.
Right around here is where commentary, they're like, we're going to let you listen to the actual Japanese commentary. For 4 seconds, I counted. They go back after 4 seconds. They're like, hey, listen to Japanese commentary. All right, wasn't that interesting? It's like, no, dude, shut up. I'm trying to understand. Yeah, crossface, which is great.
Yeah, no, he puts on the crossface. He gets it on. There's like a series of counters between crossfaces and ankle locks, basically, at this point. Because Kurt picks off the ankle, puts an ankle lock. Then it's reversed back into a crossface. Then it's reversed into an ankle lock. Back to the crossface. Then Kurt lifts him up, hits an angle slam for a near fall. A little bit down the line here, Nagata meets him at the top. Hits a belly to belly off the top rope for a near fall.
Yeah.
Then we just kind of get a series of shit.
You missed the only moonsault attempt too. That was in there too. After the angle slam, there was a moonsault which missed, and that's what leads to running knee in the corner by Nagata, the top rope belly to belly. They trade some shots. Nagata with a release suplex for a two, and then it just kind of ends.
Angle picks the ankle. He's got it on for a while, and then he does something that I don't know if I've ever really seen. At least if he has done it, it's not something I remember him doing. He just kind of sits on the ankle while he has it locked in.
Yeah.
And Nagata just has to fucking tap. Because even if this weren't, you know, wrestling and it wasn't like worked a little bit, so obviously he's not actually probably hurting someone with the ankle lock.
Yeah.
If that were legit, I would be fucking tapping out. Like, that shit looks like it would fucking suck.
A bad time. You're right. This match needs 5 more minutes. I think it would have really hit Apex with 5 more minutes. We're now moving on to a match that probably didn't need 5 minutes of it.
Honestly, it did need 5 minutes total.
And it's a shame because it's Jeff Jarrett's best match, according to some people on the internet, at least in TNA. So we talked about how Angle debuted in October 2006, specifically October 19th, 2006. We're skipping over a lot of stuff. We've seen lots of early Angle. We've seen him in Ken Anderson's episode. We've seen him in Samoa Joe's episode. We've seen him in a bunch of episodes. Go watch some of that. We're skipping to his main event Mafia days in 2009, specifically Genesis 2009, a no DQ match versus Jeff Jarrett. I have no idea who the heels are in this match. Jarrett's the face, I think.
I think, yeah, Jarrett's the face because I guess he's returning.
I just have no inkling in my body to cheer for Jeff Jarrett.
Here's my thing, though, is apparently this is like a return match for Jeff Jarrett, but he's also King of the Mountain.
Yeah.
So when the fuck did he do that?
So here's the setup for the match. So it's no DQ, right? At Final Resolution, which happened before the pay-per-view before this, Angle beat Rhino with Mick Foley as an enforcer due to interference from Al Snow. What fucking 2K simulation mode is that?
What?
If he lost, he would have had to leave TNA, but instead he gets a match with Jarrett.
Okay, so what's that Twitter account that's like a bot that books random wrestling matches?
Oh, I know the one you're talking about, but that's that type of angle. That's booked by random AI.
It's so TNA it hurts, honestly.
Yeah, and it's all ex WWE guys.
ex WWE, ex ECW.
Yeah. So early on, training shots in the ring, early sleeper by Angle, low blow by Jarrett, followed by an electric chair drop. Jarrett clotheslines him to the outside. I have no idea why, but we get a split screen where Rhino is in the locker room and throwing shit around. And I was like,
the war machine, baby.
Sure. Sure.
Snap suplex from Kurt and a bunch of stomps.
Yeah.
Kurt hits an overhead belly to belly, taunts, then goes for the pin. It's a near fall. Jarrett hits an arm drag and then a huge back body drop to the outside.
Clean over the ropes. Very clean.
Yeah, very clean. Kurt got launched on that.
Jarrett with a suicide dive. And when I say suicide, this man caught his foot on the ropes. We almost lost Jeff.
Sasha Banks style. Holy fuck.
He's like, Jeff Hardy, hold my beer and my guitar. I'm the craziest Jeff.
The thing was, he tried to go over the top like he's fucking Roman Reigns. And homie don't got the ups for that.
You don't got the hops like that. The
Yo, man almost, he literally ate concrete.
The man almost died.
He ate concrete.
Kurt caught him as much as he could.
Not very much. He did. He was like the. He may as well have been the Miz.
Also, before we keep going, I don't understand or know the Karen Jarrett / Karen Angle of it all in terms of the feuds that these two had. I just know that that's real. That she was with Kurt, and then
they got
she
divorced.
Was now
and then she was with
Jarrett.
Jarrett.
That's got to be awkward to work with, huh?
I mean, unless
that's
it was
weird.
Admittedly, I don't know if it was like Kurt and Karen were already going to get, like, they were separated and already going to get a divorce, and then, you know, that all that stuff happened. Because, like, I mean, Macho Man and Elizabeth were still working together, even though they were divorced, you know?
It's just strange, my dude.
Hey, listen, hey, you got a co-parent with this person, you know? Might as well just do a couple wrestling angles with them.
Might as well catch him on an awkward as hell suicide dive. All right. Angle tosses Jarrett over the announce table and gets a bell and absolutely clocks him with it. Jarrett is so bloody. So bloody.
Yeah, I don't know if he bladed or if that was a hard way shot, but one of those things.
It was a really, like, an over-the-top blade. Like, it was probably too much, almost.
It was a lot.
They wrestle up the ramp a little bit.
Oh, do they wrestle up the ramp?
They sure do. They sure
then they
do.
Get to the stage, and what should happen? But Kurt Angle hits this angle slam off the stage through a table that's, like, off the stage that's, like, 5 feet down, and
they
only one
the
table.
They miss the table a bit. Like, Jarrett overshoots it and lands on the floor. Jeff Jarrett's having a hard time.
Literally.
Also, this is the shot, because they're setting up for that, where I realize that Angle's wrestling in, like, Air Maxes. And it's like, what? What is this cool new Kurt that I'm seeing?
And also, like, why is this, like, actually something I'm into?
Yeah, I love it. This is awesome.
Swag. Yeah,
this bump? The bumps Jeff Jarrett's taking this match are nuts.
Yeah.
I'll give
and
him
it's
that.
His own fault.
But that angle slam where they overshot the table by a
like
bit.
Like crazy.
And
like crazy.
Jarrett
also,
landed just on the ground.
Why are there not like three tables lined up there?
Or crash mats or something else. Like just something to soften the blow for the.
Not even that. Just three tables. Just not one table.
Not just one table. You got to go to the Dudley School of putting tables. Just more tables.
Yeah, more tables is always more better.
Yeah, you got Devon on the roster at this point. He can get the tables. That's his whole thing.
So it takes fucking forever for them to get back into the action. And
they
should
crawl to the ring.
It should. Okay.
They trade shots for a while, using the ropes to get momentum. Jarrett gets some clotheslines, hits a casual pedigree.
The ugliest pedigree I've ever seen.
They call it a double underhook DDT. He pedigreed him.
Remember when Triple H tore his quad and still hit a pedigree?
Yes.
And it looked fucking terrible? Yes, you do.
Yes.
The first time against Jericho and Dick.
Yep.
It still looked better than that one.
Yeah, it kind
of did. Triple H's torn quad pedigree looked so much better than Jeff Jarrett's normal one.
That's a shame.
That is sad. Jarrett goes for the stroke, which is just a skull crusher finale.
It is.
Kurt rolls through, puts on an ankle lock. Because again,
picking ankles. That's what he does.
My man loves picking at him.
Angle like a fucking, sent to like the a outside, dog. Lands on his feet, gets a chair, swings. Jarrett ducks. Rob kicks the chair back in his face. That was nice.
I mean, I have a question for you.
What's up?
Who? What has destroyed more ankles? Razor scooters or Kurt Angle?
Allen Iverson crossovers. That's my answer. I went off the board.
What if it's two options though?
Oh, razor scooters then.
Ah,
those things are menaces.
Yeah, that my ankles have not menaces. But yeah, no, my ankles have still not recovered.
So we get the chair shot. Jarrett ducks, dropkicks back in his face. We get a stroke by Jarrett for two. A dropkick off the top by Kurt, and then an angle slam, straps down. Ankle lock reversed. Angle charges, goes right into the ring post in the corner. Rough.
So the kick out on the angle slam was Jeff Jarrett picking up both shoulders.
I didn't even notice that.
He just went.
Just shot himself straight up.
It was like that hilarious. Classic
game, Don't Wake Daddy, where you step on the wrong thing, he'd just shoot out of bed like, ah! You guys remember that game from like 97? Huh?
I don't.
How about that?
I was born that year. Kurt posts himself, like you said. Jarrett grabs a guitar, which is already broken somehow.
And Angle's like, no thank you, and hoofs Jarrett directly in the guitar picks. That's right. Now we get maybe my favorite moment of this whole episode, okay? If you made it through this far, you're rewarded by hearing about this. Angle picks up a chair and a guitar, okay? And Jeff Jarrett's down, and Angle's in the ring, just stands in the middle of the ring, and puts the chair up to see the crowd reaction, puts the guitar up to see the crowd reaction. Which one do you want me to hit him with? I love it. Democracy, baby.
Kurt Angle's the baby face.
That's the thing. Kurt feels like a baby face here.
Jarrett misses an Enziguri.
The crowd chooses chair, by the way.
Yeah. Kurt misses the Enziguri ankle lock. Jarrett roll up from the ankle lock for a near fall. Jarrett counters an angle slam into a DDT, grabs a guitar, which again is broken.
Broken already.
So he's like, all right, well, fuck the handle. And he's going to use the base of the guitar. Until he realized this is fucking stupid and grabs the chair.
Yep.
Clean chair shot to the head. Jarrett's selling the ankle. So he like kind of crawls backwards.
Yeah.
Into the pin. One, two. Kurt flips it into a crucifix pin, which is the superior pin, by the way.
It is.
As we all know.
It's true.
One, two, three. Kurt Angle wins.
It's actually a really fun match.
It's fun.
It's really fun.
It might be one of the best matches to watch on 1.5 speed.
Oh, yeah. It just becomes a car crash.
Can you imagine also, it on 1.75? You can
move it up to 2.0 when they're going from the off-the-ramp table spot to the ring because it takes like
that,
4 minutes.
That might be a 4.0 if I'm being honest with you.
Make them look like play Benny Hill music. Yeah, it'll be great. I loved going through these matches. I rediscovered, or I guess discovered for the first time, the Undertaker gem. You got to see the Shawn Michaels Vengeance 05 gem.
Yeah.
Kurt Angle, it's weird because what do you think of when you hear the words Kurt Angle's peak? When is it for you?
For me personally, it's that period from like 2004 to 2007.
Yeah, like I think we hit some of his wrestling peak. I think some of his storyline stuff might have been better in like
2001,
2001 through 2003, like beginning of SmackDown times. Yeah. Might have been maybe his storyline peak. But in terms of his wrestling peak, we just saw it. The Eddie match, the Michaels match, and the Taker match are
excellent.
Three masterclasses that are, they have similar beats, but they're entirely different matches.
Yeah.
Which, that's a lot of skill.
My thing with Kurt is, I think the thing I'm going to take away the most from this episode is just Kurt is a different wrestler in every single one of these matches.
Oh, yeah. He can just switch it up enough to be any person you need.
Like, there is such a variance from just the match in 2004 to 2005.
Yeah.
Which is wild. And then it's a complete change from the Taker to the Taker match, which is 2006.
Yep. Kurt is the gif of Dwight in the office pretending to be everybody else. He can be anybody you want. You need him to be Pam. You need him to be Jim. You need him to be Toby. He's got you. Stanley, he's got you.
Yeah, then we get to Japan. He's a different guy. TNA, he was a different person like every 2 weeks, I felt like.
So. And next week, we're going to look at a lot of him in TNA. We're looking at 3 TNA matches and 2 from his WWE return. One fun, one less fun. That's the way I'll describe
it. It's true. It's true.
It's damn true. Javier, where can people find you on social media?
I'm on the Twitter machine at JMello Sports. I don't know if the people have noticed, but I've been getting more and more active, Evan.
The man keeps tweeting.
I'm making my way back.
Yeah. He's just posting the MJ notification. I'm back.
I'm back.
He's wearing the 4-5.
Oh, yeah. I need to play games with you.
It's great. The way you can follow me is on Twitter. At it's Evan Gomes, ITSEVANGOMES. Follow the podcast, most importantly, and tell us who to cover after Kurt Angle, because we don't know. We don't know.
Really don't. Hey, like, this isn't a bit. We just actually don't know.
This is not a bit. Yet. Most of the things we do are bits. This is not a bit.
I could tell you who the next 3-parter is. I'm not going to, but I could.
But we could. But, like, I don't know. You want a draws episode? We can get you a draws episode. You want a tugboat episode? We'll get you a tugboat episode.
Am I doing the Nasty Boys?
Nasty Boys episode? You know? Medusa was the name I was trying to pull, and the only person who came to my mind was Tori. Not even Wilson. Like, Kane's girlfriend, Tori. I was like, why can I think of... No.
We doing the cat?
You want a Tori episode? Anywho. Follow us on Twitter, at Crossbody of Work. Tell us who we should cover on the next... The two pods from now. Because next week, yes. Kurt Angle Part 3, obviously. Javier, any final words for the people?
Yes. Life advice with Javier for this week. Yesterday, I hung out with a friend that I hadn't seen in years, honestly. And it was awesome. And it felt really like... It felt like nothing had changed, honestly. It was great. So my recommendation this week, honestly... If there are people from your past, like, you know, old friends that you kind of maybe have lost touch with over the while, and, you know, it wasn't for specific reasons, it just kind of happens, fucking reach out, you know? Yeah, see what's up. Reach out to them, especially if this was someone, like, this was someone that I was really, really fucking close with in high school, and I just, you know, reached out. We had a great time. So, like, yeah, if there's someone from your past that you were close with, you hadn't talked to in a while, reach out. You know, I'm not saying you guys have to hang out or whatever. Life obviously gets in the way.
Yeah.
Just
let me know what you're thinking about him even. Yeah.
Just reconnect. Reconnect, yeah. Man. It's fun. You know, it's always important to get those connections back, going back full circle, especially, you know, if it's someone that was really of value to you or just like really of importance to you at some point in life.
Yeah. I got a little bit of advice too. We're recording this on Earth Day. Happy Earth Day. If you litter, you're a terrible person. That's
it. You're a piece of shit.
Also, return your carts to the cart stalls at grocery stores. It's the easiest thing in the world.
Thank you.
It's the easiest thing. That's the go home. That's where we're going home on. That was the finale. Yeah, that's it. See you next week for Kurt Angle Part 3. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you then.